Time for the Browns Advanced Care Pharmacy Radio Show.
Good morning.
Austin Brown is here.
Thanks, Greg.
He has a lovely guest.
I brought one of our other pharmacists, and she also happens to be my wife. I have Erica Brown with us this morning. So,
welcome, Erica.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You got the tree up yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Right answer.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us this morning.
Delighted to have you here. We're going to talk, about holidays and medications?
Yeah, and some of the things that come up along those time of the year. So we've got, with the holiday time, you know, we got kicked off with Thanksgiving, and now we're getting into the Christmas time. So one of the things with that is with the holidays come traveling. And one of the things that we get a lot of questions about during this time of year is I'm heading to the East Coast, the West Coast. I'm visiting. I'm getting on a plane. What's going to happen with me and my meds?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we get a lot of questions about during this time of the year.
What do we have to look out for?
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is when you're in the security check, the most important thing is you got to save yourself more time. It might take a little bit longer depending on the amount of medications that you have through the security. I always try to tell people, give yourself enough time at the airport so you're not missing a flight, because TSA decides that you're going to be the one that they want to spend a little bit of extra time on this year.
Uh-huh.
So give yourself, that rule of thumb is when you're flying domestically, they say give yourself about 2 hours before your flight leaves. I'd give yourself another hour. And then for international flights, they say 4 hours, give yourself, another hour just to be safe. I'd hate to have somebody miss their flight because they're looking at 15 medications in the screening. So when you're in that part of the security line, you want to let the officer, the TSA officer, know that you have medications, and anything that's a tablet form, a pill form, a liquid or a solid, or even equipment is going to undergo security screening. So it's recommended that you have everything nice and labeled for the screening process. All the state laws in terms of what's supposed to be on a prescription label, the state of Michigan does a really good job in terms of the information that has to be on a prescription label,
mm-hmm.
Compared to other states. So any information that would be necessary is going to be on there. So I would keep it separated from any other liquids, shampoos and soaps or, other DOP kit toiletry items. I keep them separate from that just so when you get there, you can pull all that stuff right out and say, this is my medication. And like I said, especially if pumps or equipment, they're going to want to see that as well. Declare the any accessories. So if you're traveling with insulin, you might have freezer packs, pumps, syringes, any IV bags. Having those labeled facilitates the screening process. And the TSA, they do allow larger amounts of medically necessary liquids or gels or aerosols, anything like that, that you need in reasonable quantities for the trip. But again, declare those to the officers at the checkpoint so they can take a look at them. And you'll take everything out of your carry-on bag, and they'll screen that separately. You're not required to have liquid medications placed in a Ziploc bag. However, just in case, when you're traveling with that stuff, it can make a mess. I still would say go ahead and have it in there.
Yeah.
So those are the big things is, leave yourself time. Know that you have to tell the officers that you're going to be screened. And then, have everything clearly labeled. Have everything ready to go for them in an easy spot to get into your carry-on luggage. Don't ever pack necessary medications in your check bag. This is all things that can be brought on your carry-on. I'd hate for somebody that needed their medication to have it stowed away. So this is something that you can have with your carry-on luggage as long as everything's clearly labeled and declared to the officer. Being ready and expecting them to have additional questions is the best way to save you time in the long run, is just knowing what to expect.
Have you been through that?
I haven't been through it myself personally, but traveling with older relatives and things like that, it's just, explaining to the officer, here's what we have, traveling with my grandmother or something along those lines, wheelchair bound, lots of medications. Here's what we have, and, when we go through the screening, we've got them in the bag. I've got a list of the medications as well, so that when we're in there, here's the list, here's the bag, and then they kind of just double check everything that pops up on the list is in the bag.
Makes sense.
So that way, there's an additional one in there. What is this for? So having everything labeled that you're traveling with, so mm-hmm. when they're looking at a pill, they're cross-referencing. So that's helpful. So that's been my experience with
it. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
I travel on land.
Right, yeah. Not as many questions, but yeah, land versus air,
my car.
Right? Yeah, but no, when they're looking at that, just anything that you can do to help them move the process forward, and remembering it does take time, to not get discouraged, save yourself time to be there early. Mm-hmm. You'll thank yourself, and they will thank you for being prepared. So that's one of the things that we get a lot of questions about this time of year.
So Erica's going to talk about the holidays also.
Yes, she
is. Absolutely.
Holiday food.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the parts of the holidays that everyone loves is all the delicious food and things that you get to eat that are prepared for you that aren't prepared during the rest of the year usually.
Like my breakfast today.
There you go.
Twizzlers.
Breakfast of Champions.
Is that your holiday? That's your holiday breakfast?
Twizzlers.
Oh, yeah. And we all love it. However, it is still important to be monitoring your diet if you have some type of dietary restriction or need, such as those with diabetes or even those with heart failure. For diabetes, there's a lot of more sugary foods full of carbs. And in regards to diets for heart failure, a lot of these delicious foods that we have are really, really high in salt. And right after Thanksgiving and right after the December holidays tends to be a lot higher. Admissions actually to the hospital for different heart failure exacerbations, having fluid overloaded. So it's very, very important that while we can still taste and try things, it's important not to overindulge in those foods just to keep you safe. So some of the best ways to do that is to really be prepared, to know what the meal is going to be ahead of time, and to plan how much of what different types of foods to eat, in addition to knowing what you can and cannot eat, or maybe what you should stay away from or actually limit. And that actually includes drinks, too, so not just food. A lot of the eggnog and other holiday cocktails while they might be delicious, are full of sugar and carbs. And that's a really easy way to spike your blood sugar really high if you have diabetes. So very important to pay attention and to be careful about what you choose to consume, and just realize that those have some empty carbs in them as well, not just your food and your desserts. Try not to graze if at all possible. You know, I'm guilty of it, absolutely.
Come on now.
I know. I'm guilty of it too, but it definitely is a way to help to keep your blood sugar under control, so you're not surprised that, oh, my meal was so small. Why is my blood sugar so high? Well, because we were grazing at the buffet table the whole evening before dinner even started. Check your blood sugar and check it often. I know that it might not be the number that you want it to be because it's going to be a little higher, but it is important to keep monitoring that and to maybe even talk to your prescriber, your physician, whoever helps you manage your diabetes about ways, you know, hey, I'm planning on going to my relative's house for a Christmas meal, and if my blood sugar is higher, should I do anything different to my insulin? Just to be prepared and to have that conversation. And of course, you can indulge a little. It's not that you have to stay away from everything. Like I said, there are certain
things. It's moderation.
Exactly. Everything in moderation. So just know that, and know that it's not like you have to stay away from everything. That might make your holiday meal a little bit sad when everybody else around you is having something delicious, but you're staying away from it. But yeah, everything in moderation, and I hope everyone has a happy holiday.
Tough time of year for diabetics.
Absolutely, yep. Diabetes and heart failure patients both. It's a little bit of a tougher time. So if you have a loved one who has diabetes or heart failure, you know, just be conscious of that. Have some options maybe for them that are sugar free.
Yeah.
If they have diabetes, might be a good idea. And realize that it's a little bit harder for them around this time of the year.
But everything does have salt.
Everything
I have found that out.
Yes.
Everything.
If you find the no salt foods, would you let us know? Because that would make our jobs that much easier.
Yeah.
It definitely would, but it's very, very important. Where I worked last year, we did notice that there was a much higher instance of people having trouble after the holidays. So just an important thing to look out for.
So how about the flu?
Yeah. Well, we've been doing a lot of flu shots this year.
I would imagine.
And, so we really appreciate everybody coming in and seeing us and getting their flu shots and learning about the landscape of this year. I haven't heard anything in terms of overly sick populations around the Jackson area too much in terms of how the shot versus what the flu is actually doing. So everything that I've been understanding is if you're getting that flu shot, you're still getting that extra protection. You're protecting not only yourself, but you're protecting your loved ones and the people that you work with. And, you know, if the kids are getting flu shots, they're keeping the kids at school safe. So we've really appreciated the numbers that we've seen coming in and saying hi to us. And we're now running into...
So what's the drill? Can you just come on in and get a flu shot?
You can still come on in and get one. We've still got them available.
Okay.
There's no problems with that. Now that the rush, quote-unquote, for, you know, October, November, that does not mean, you know, everybody tries to get them in the fall. That does not mean that if you've missed those months that you're not going to get anything out of getting the flu shot. Mm-hmm. We still highly recommend getting it, into January. So... come on in and see us if you still haven't had the chance to go do it. It's easy. It's quick. You just walk in and you ask.
Pretty cheap.
Yeah, and it's covered by most insurances now. A lot of insurance companies do realize that getting this done ultimately saves them time and resources down the road, and it keeps everybody safe. So they're willing to pay for that because they know it's important. So we'll come on in and check it out. We'd be happy to take a look. So we have gotten that going. Now we're getting into cold versus flu versus strep and some of those things. And everybody, you know, there's a lot of information out there, thankfully, about how to tell the difference now. You know, when you're getting the cold versus the flu, and do I need antibiotics or do I need to let this ride out? And some of the main symptoms that we get, you know, the things that you really watch out for with cold versus flu is if you're running a fever and a cold, that would be rare. However, in a flu, that's going to be a higher temperature in the 102 to 104. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're running a fever, that might be a flu. Headaches, again, colds, that's not always as common. With a flu, that might be more of a common symptom. Aches and pains, the cold, you might feel something, not terribly drastic. However, with a flu, they're going to be more pronounced. You're going to notice that you're having some soreness and some fatigue. And then, again, that's with the cold, the aches and pains, fatigues, not so much with cold. However, flu, that's more of a common symptom. Sometimes people talk about extreme exhaustion. Now, when you're sick and you're run down, yeah, you're a little bit more tired. You run on less sleep. However, at the start of the flu, people just feel really wiped out. Whereas with a cold, that's usually does not happen. The stuffy nose... that's going to lean way more towards the cold versus the flu. And as well with a sore throat. Sometimes you can get that with the flu, but stuffiness, sneezing, and sore throat are usually the telltale signs of the cold versus the flu. So those are things that we always kind of like to tell people around this time of year. There's a lot of good information out there to help distinguish the fact. Because if we're, you know, if you have the flu and we prescribe you some antibiotics... it won't touch anything, and then we've used antibiotics for no reason.
Well, and then people, you know, they let's face it, they don't want to go to the doctor.
Well, they don't
want to treat themselves.
Yep, and they don't want to. Yeah, they don't want to go to the doctor. But when they do, one of the other things too is when we go to the doctor, we're looking for a solution. So sometimes it's hard as prescribers or healthcare professionals when we read you the symptoms and say, wait it out. That's not always fun for people to hear. Like, what do you mean, wait it out? I'm miserable here. Give me something.
Yeah.
So that's part of the discussions and one of the education pieces that we like to have with people is at the pharmacy when we have a little bit more time is, you know, distinguishing the differences and using over-the-counter products and getting fluids and maybe an over-the-counter decongestant versus just going right to an antibiotic that you would need from the physician because it might not be necessary. And it's something that we could help you treat at the pharmacy. And if you do have questions about that and you don't know what you've got, we do offer new this year point of care testing at the pharmacy. So if you're wondering if you have strep throat or the flu or maybe it's just the cold, we can actually...
pneumonia?
Pneumonia we can't test for, but we can do a screening to determine if you need to go see the doctor. But we can now at the pharmacy offer throat swabs and nasal swabs to check to see if you have strep or the flu at the pharmacy, And then from and then from there, it's a new service this year. We just started rolling it out.
Wow.
And you can actually come into the pharmacy and say, I'm really feeling run down. We have a sheet that you'll fill out.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our pharmacists will do a swab, and then we run that through a machine. And you can know in the pharmacy whether you're positive for flu or strep, or if it's something we can treat with over-the-counter products.
Erica, it says right here, drink plenty of fluids.
It does. Stick to water.
Drink plenty of fluids. Stick to water. But
no eggnog.
But if you got your heart failure, know what your fluid limitations
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Hey, so if you haven't had a flu shot, get over to Browns.
Come on over and see us.
And they can hook you up. Thanks for coming out.
Hey, thanks a lot,
Greg.
Thanks for
having us.
Appreciate it.